Well, Lord, I just thank you so much for an awesome time tonight. I thank you, Lord, for your presence and your anointing. And I thank you, Lord, that people are going to be real with you. People are going to completely get rid of self and just please you, Lord. We're tired of fighting the flesh. We're tired of fighting with the flesh. And Lord, I just ask and I pray, Lord, that you just bring us to that point to where nothing else matters but you. And nothing else matters, Lord, but you. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to do a mighty work through this group of people. I believe, Lord, that you are cleaning up your bride. And there are those that want to be pleasing to you that will be in the bride. Then there are those that had rather go with the flesh that'll not make it. But I ask and I pray, Father, that tonight that decision is made to follow and to run after you with all our hearts, Lord. Sometimes, Lord, we get caught up in self and idols and all of that stuff. But Lord, I'm asking you to help us all to come to the point to where you're the only thing that's important, because you're the life that we live. You're what's inside of us. And I'm asking you to help us tonight, Lord, to get rid of all the fears, all the torments that we've gone through, and just be peace in our, have peace in our heart that you are doing this work in us, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Bless us, Lord, tonight in a mighty way. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anybody got any prayer requests? Get me a piece of paper here. Yeah, Leon, go ahead, bro.
Well, I don't have a cold starting, so I want you to pray about that. And I don't need a cold. I just fought one off a couple weeks ago, and so I don't have one coming now either, but I need your prayers for that.
For a cold?
Yeah.
Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, I command all the symptoms of a cold to leave Leon now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that he's cleansed of it. And any kind of other spirit of infirmity, go from him right now in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, for it. We praise your holy name, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Lord. All right. Yeah, David, go ahead.
I'll have to take some prayer. I recently felt my, over the past couple months or so, once in a while, my vision would get a little blurry when I'm reading on the laptop, you know, reading scripture, get late. I can't, you know, I have to focus and cast it off me. And, I haven't been to a doctor in a while, so I went to the doctor. I wasn't talking about that. I was just looking over my hands because they were looking them over, you know, confirming things are getting better. But they took my blood pressure and they said, you know, you got high blood pressure. And they took it a couple different times and they kept on saying, well, it's high. And they said, it's every time you come in here, it's high. And so that was just, I just want to get prayer and cast down this high blood pressure that's coming on me. because I don't want to receive that, you know. It's something that my mom had, so I just I don't want to receive it in the name of Jesus. So,
well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Dave to you. And in the name of Jesus, I break all generational curses upon him right now in the name of Jesus. And I command this heart to start pumping normally. And I command all the veins and arteries to be roto-rooted out in the name of Jesus. I command them to be cleansed out and free-flowing in Jesus' name. I command any heart blood pressure, I command the blood pressure to be normal in Jesus' name. Lord, you're a mighty God, and you've already done that today. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Dave, you believe that?
Yeah, I believe it. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah,
prayer agreement. Thank you.
Amen. Everybody else, Gurry, no more blood pressure for you. High blood pressure for him, in Jesus' name. All right. Anyone else? Yeah. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, well, I guess it's time for me to stop living in, you know, stop with that hiding behind the veil of secrecy. You know, it's funny. We were, David, you were talking about there that, or Dave, you know, about what Willie's testimony is. And so, yeah, I've been thinking about that this week. And I finally listened to the whole thing, you know, from the beginning to the end there. You know, and it, the first bit, yeah, I mean, I remember that really spoke to me. But then I started listening about the pride, you know, the aspect of pride and how that works with rejection. And, you know, I thought, wow, yeah, that makes perfect sense. That's why so many of us hang on to it so much. But I think, you know, your prayer was perfect. You know, it's and I think David's Sunday message, you know, just more further revelation just of what's coming, you know, the past dreams and stuff like that. And it's, is the brother, he was speaking last week, last Thursday. I forget his name, Jeremy. I want to say he's probably been on the call here before. He spoke something that really resonated with me at the moment. You know, I take it he meant the spirit of condemnation gives way to unbelief. And I thought, well, that makes perfect. Well, I mean, if you or anybody else who knew what exactly it meant, I'd like to see, or I mean, elaborate on that. What exactly did he mean by that? Because I can kind of, I mean, from what I understood, you know, I mean, it did make sense. I mean, I struggle a lot with that unbelief or that doubt. I guess I'm still kind of trying to distinguish between the two, but your prayer was perfect. I was like, I mean, you know, I'm realizing lately just how broad, you know, I thought it wasn't as broad as it is, the spirit of rejection. And I believe that's what, you know, that's a strong man. You know, that's like one of those ruling spirits, and there's all those other ones below it. So I think it's, but yeah, it all stems back to rejection. But, or do you remember, I mean, did you understand exactly, Michael, or are you Dave? I mean, what exactly he meant by that? Because I guess I can kind of understand when you feel so condemned, you begin to just not believe anymore. Does that ring a bell?
Condemnation takes away your ability to have faith.
Okay.
It's going to rob you of your faith. And you start doubting and you become double-minded.
And okay. You
and that's what Satan does. He tries to take away your faith by condemning you. And once he gets you under the condemnation, that's all you see is yourself. You're not seeing Jesus anymore.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Taking your eyes off Christ and putting them on you. And there is no condemnation in Jesus Christ. Those are in Christ. Well, you think, well, how can that be? Well, you're at the time that you're feeling condemnation, you're no longer seeing Jesus. You're no longer seeing the cross. It was all done at the cross. You're receiving all your lack, which Jesus took from you, and you're receiving it again. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to put you back under the law, back you under their condemnation, back under the guilt, back under your all your failures, and take away your ability to walk in Christ. So if he can get you to condemn yourself and stay in that condemnation mode, you're losing your sight and your salvation of grace in Christ. Now, grace covers all that. We have to understand what the grace is going to do for us. Grace, one of the things grace does, it removes our guilt. We have to have faith that the Lord's going to take that away. Even though we may not see the results, we believe it was already done at the cross 2,000 years ago. That was paid for. Even the sins that you might be involved in now or the failures you're having now, you're still against that. You're not willfully sinning, but it's the sin that's in you, or it's even the past life still coming back and haunting you. But all that was taken away at the cross. So it's no longer us that live, it's Christ in us. If we get our eyes back on Christ and say, you know, I don't have the lack, that Jesus took the lack. That was the old me, the condemnation me, the failing me, the rejected me, and the people I rejected, all that. Now, I'm saying we're not going to walk free of this all the time, but we may still have stumblings, all right? You may still stumble here and there, but you got to confess it. It's a stumble or whatever, and get your eyes back on Christ. Because once you take your eyes off Christ and let that condemnation come in, it's going to rob you of the faith to believe for the salvation and the grace. That's why you got to be careful. Condemnation, the only thing good condemnation does is take you away from Christ, take you away from your grace. Now, there's legal condemnation is when you have willful sin. You willfully do it. You willfully get to have that condemnation because that's what you're allowing in your life. Willfully. You're not denying it. But if it's just stumbling and you're fighting it and you're against it, there's no condemnation in that. Jesus doesn't condemn you for that. Neither does God the Father. He's on your side against those things.
Yeah.
Even your past. If your past comes up, what Satan loves to do is throw your past in your face all the time. Make you feel bad about it. Well, you know, that's your past. That's done. That's hidden Christ on the cross.
Yeah.
But we got to remind ourselves of that and understand what grace is doing and not let go of the grace, because the grace takes us off the law. Condemnation is legalism. It's the law. We're not under the law.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, yeah.
Amen.
Okay.
That's good, buddy. Thank you.
Okay.
I've been having to listen a lot about grace lately because, you know, I was falling under the sin of rejection, too, for a little bit. And even though that's why I wasn't on that night when you guys were having that discussion, because I felt so out of it and not myself. I wasn't walking in the Spirit the way I wanted to be.
Yep.
And so I had to go back and, I often, whenever I feel this coming or if I know there's something that's hitting me, I've got a folder and I'm probably, I have different MPE files and different folders for different things. And one of them is grace and faith. And I listen to those things, and they're from David. And I specifically zeroed in on that so that you understand what the law is and what you're not under. You understand what the grace is all about. You understand what's legal condemnation, what's not legal. Because you have to be reminded of these things often.
Yeah.
And I'm not just saying, I used to think, and this is a good thing, I used to like to read Romans at least once a month. At least. I want to get back into that too. And some of the other gospels that Paul wrote. He's great on grace. He's great on understanding. He's not being under the law and not falling back into this sin of trying to work out your own salvation in the sense of without the grace. You get into the works. You're trying to justify yourself. That's where the pride comes in.
Yeah.
All right. So you have to understand grace very, very well. If you're going to be in this bride and in the body, Satan's going to take you out in a second if you don't understand grace and how it works in your life. We're not here because of what we did. We're not here because of who we are or how smart we are or how much we know. Although knowledge is what we need in order to accomplish all this. But we have to get it in our heart, too. It's got to be written in our heart. And the best thing you have to understand in this setting is understand what grace is, not only for us, but for others. That was one of the things I was having a problem with, because of the rejection thing, what happens is you have a tendency to be kind of an overachiever sometimes, because yeah. You're trying to overcompensate for, like Pat was talking about, he got into the guitar and he was really just focused in on that. And Willie, he got into the art and poetry, and he becomes self-absorbed in that little environment, because you become very good at it, and it takes you away from things that hurts you. Well, for me, I've always been very good at my work. Whatever it is, I master it pretty good. Am I the best? No, but I work hard at doing good, so I can be not overcome by any difficulties, because my job has a lot of difficulties to it. Well, I have a tendency to make it look pretty easy that way too, because I work hard at doing things. And it can be easy for me to look at others sometimes and think, why don't you try harder? I do. You know, you get into that mode. That's that rejection. Because now you go from being rejected to rejecting others, because now you're judging people by what you think you are able to do and they're not, or where you're at and they're not. So rejection is two-story street. Not only is it fear of rejection, but you reject others too, because you switch it real quick too. You can become the person that's causing the rejection just because you were rejected. So you did a lot of things to overcome whatever it was you need in your life and get off that path and feel good about yourself. And you know, whatever it is you were working hard at, you did it. And you found that little cocoon. Well, pretty soon that little cocoon, not only is it protecting you, but it's also pushing away others.
Yeah.
And the way you do it is you start viewing people through that cocoon that you've created. And now you're thinking, why don't you measure up to this cocoon I got? Because I got my comfort zone. Why don't you have yours? And your comfort zone should look like mine. All right. But that's not grace.
Yeah.
That's not the gospel. The gospel is, hey, we're all here because we failed. We're all here because we need a Savior. We're all here because we can't do this on our own, and holiness is far above what we could all reach for. I was listening to David today. He said that if the Lord were to show us perfection, all that he is in perfection, and then what he really would, you know, if it was his way to have us be right now in our life, we would think, it's over. I'm done. I can't. There's no way. This is more than I can handle. We would be, you know, our face would be on the ground and baby yet. We'd be saying, die. I want to die. I can't take it anymore. It's too much holiness. But he doesn't do that to us. He has grace. He brings us into a little light at a time, and he has us overcome. Then he brings us in a little more light. He knows that we can't be at that standard he is. He's a holy God. But he knows where we're at, where he is, and he's not there to condemn us because we're not there. He's there to lift us up, bring us into that kingdom. That's what grace is all about. It's not about trying to say, hey, why aren't you there, you slacker? What's wrong with you? That's not grace. Grace is, I'm going to help you overcome your issues. I'm going to help you overcome the world. I'm going to help you come in the image of my son, Jesus Christ, because I love you. And if you fail and stumble, that's fine. You're my child. I expect that. And I'm not going to find any fault in that ever, because I know you're trying and that's what I want. But I'm going to be alongside you. That's grace. Uh-huh. Pride gets in the way and says, why aren't you there yet? What's wrong with you? Yeah. I expected more out of you than this. I do this. Why can't you? Yeah. That's where the man, the flesh comes in, and that's why the churches are the way they are today. They do have a lot of this arrogance about them, and it's easy for us to fall in that. And I fell in that, you know, a couple weeks ago, and I was kind of a little upset with this guy not being on the job on time and doing his work, and I was getting a little worked up about it because it's not the way I do things. Well, you become kind of, you know, again, my bubble was there, right? I had my little perfect world, and I know how to make it work, and I'm very good at my job. Why can't you be like me? I wasn't thinking that, but that's kind of what I was projecting in back in my heart. That's kind of what I'm thinking. What's up here, you know? So that's not grace. Now, agreed, you know, I can't say you give everybody the latitude in the world, and there's some expectations that people still have to meet. You go to work, you expect it to work and all that stuff to a degree. Yep. But we can't put people under condemnation and guilt, or even because that's not grace. We're here to show compassion and patience and kindness, forgiveness. Because when we give those things out, we'll receive the same from the Lord. But if we take that away and don't give that out, the Lord takes it away from us too, which he did to me, which wasn't a very comfortable feeling. I was stumbling. I was having a hard time. You don't want that. It's a very lonely place then. You're kind of isolated. And he wants you to know that, hey, listen, I can show you perfection. I can show you what I'm like. Why aren't you like that? He can do the same thing to us and show you how cruel that is, if he wants to. And when he does that, you start to realize, you know what? I still need a Savior, and I'm pretty lost. And no matter what I think I might accomplish, it's nothing compared to what I need in Christ to help me to overcome for what is the new kingdom that we're working for. So it's done by grace. It's not done by works. We have to understand what grace is and never depart from that.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
Any questions, Joe?
No, it makes sense. That makes perfect sense. I can relate with you there, Dave, and that, you know, being in that kind of cocoon. I guess it's very easy for me to, I guess, well, I used to really condemn others. I think it's more easy to condemn myself now, because I'll look at people like you or, you know, Patrick or others who just can quote scriptures off here and there, and I'm thinking, geez, Joe, you know, why can't you do that? You know, it's almost been more directed to myself now. Like, you're not trying hard enough, or you're not reading. And I think it goes with that works mentality. You know, I think that's being so much, under the law. And I see where rejection plays along with that, because that's one of my big things. I'm thinking, well, does God really love me? Because I look at all, you know, everyone else here, I look at all my other brethren, and they can quote these scriptures left and right. They understand it, but little old me, you know, I'm not there yet. So it's like, how could God really love me if I'm not as faithful as them? But you know, you said it perfectly. That's not grace. You know, that's I mean, and that's where the condemnation comes in. Like, oh yeah, yeah, you know, you're worthless, Joe. You're not trying hard enough, or you're not studying hard enough, or you're not praying hard enough. And it's just, you know, those works come in, and I see how everything just kind of falls into place. So, oh yeah. Oh, yeah. That'll make sense. So.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Anybody got any comments? I'll make one comment. You can't gauge yourself against others, because you're walking your walk, and they're walking their walk. You may be excellent in one area of your walk that they're failing in. So you can't judge somebody else or yourself by somebody else, because God's got you on your own road. And if you're doing everything that you know to do, then you're accounted as righteous in God's eyes. It's when we start being lackadaisical in our walk with Christ that we get hung up on things, you know. You can't be blasé about your walk with Christ. He says to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Yep. What does that mean? You know, it means we fear that we. You know, I've got a thing over here on my door. It says this: one of the greatest signs of humility is the fear of being wrong. He who is afraid of being incorrect will naturally think and consider before God. Huh. You understand what that means?
Say that again. He who is wrong.
He who is afraid of being incorrect will naturally think and consider before God. In other words, before you speak out your tongue, you know, what you say, think about what you're saying before you say it. And the same way goes with our thought process also. think about what you're saying and what the Word of God says. And if you don't know if you're right with what you're thinking is, go to the Word of God and find out what it is, what it's supposed to be. And then you'll find out that you're supposed to be thinking these great thoughts that, you know, that the Word tells us to. That Christ lives in us, you know. We walk like Christ. We walk just like a Christ. We're disciples of Christ. And as a disciple, we're learners and followers. We're walking right in his footsteps. Okay, am I thinking like Jesus? Well, hopefully, you know, hopefully. But the only way we're going to get to know that is, of course, to get in the Word of God and find out. But we need to humble ourselves and don't be judging other people. That's the main thing, is not judge other people. See the Jesus in them if they're a brother and sister. And you're sure not supposed to be judging the lost. Can't be judging the
law. Yeah, that was one of the other things that David was talking about. I agree with you on that. If we're judging somebody by what we see, and that person's a brother, and God is working in their life, and he's not holding anything to their account as being wrong, but we are, uh-oh, guess what side of we're on? We're doing Satan's work at this point. We're not on God's side. We're not working with the Lord on this. We're out of the loop. How do we know what's in this brother's heart? You know, I had this woman, about a year ago, two ago. It's been a couple of years. I've known her for a while, but she's very Catholic. And, she was just, she was hanging out with another girl at another church that was really, you know, the churches, whatever, they got their hangups. But this one church that she was going to, she was getting some truth, but they were really pushing her on getting baptized because that's what this church was all about, believing and then being baptized, believing and then being baptized. Well, this girl, she was very Catholic, and she was listening, and she was getting a lot of truth, but she was starting to get a little offended because, you know what, they believe in their Catholic baptism. Yeah. And she was baptized as a baby, and she was baptized in the church, and that's good for her. And that's, you know, that's, so she was getting really highly offended, and it pushed her over the edge where she just really just all out became just all Catholic church, this and that, just really embracing everything about the Catholic church and became a fanatic to the point that she was just so factious. We had to get away from her because she was just coming off too hard, very Catholic stuff coming at us. You know, a lot of error. But she needed to go through that rough time. She needed to see where she was being pushed out because of her faction. And I talked about faction one day to her, not even knowing that she was being factious at the time, but the Lord just put it on my heart and just started talking about factious people and faction, what it was, because I think it was him telling her about faction to let her know what was going on. And then I see, you know, within a few weeks later, that's what she was becoming, very factious. Because whenever you're involved in these apostate churches, you become very factious, especially if you're going to run after their dogma and their teachings and embrace them. But, So especially the Catholic Church. So she's becoming very factious. And she had to go through that a time of hard, you know, experiences of being around other Christians that weren't really receiving her anymore because she was pushing so hard on this Catholic thing. Well, today I had a chance to talk to her because I thought, oh boy, how's this going to go? But we prayed for her actually on the UBM here about a year ago. And I've been able to touch in and out of her life here and there, a little, you know, touch base with her once in a while. And the last time I was talking to her a couple times, I was talking about, you know, 2 Corinthians 3:18 about beholding the face of the glory of the Lord, being transformed that same age from glory to glory, says, telling her that's the gospel. That's what we got to look for. We got to get Jesus Christ in us. That's what it's all about, by having Christ in you, the hope of glory, nothing more. You know, and you're getting her focusing on that part where they don't really teach. Well, she's bringing that up to me today and talking about it's just Christ in us. Now, she's really kind of, she's the light's coming on. Now, she may still have some Catholic beliefs, and I know she probably still prays to Mary. But, you know, my job as being a disciple of Christ and a witness is not to take and find what's wrong with her and correct it. It's to find the truth and lead her into the truth and let the Lord bring her up into the kingdom. And she's doing much, but she's doing great. You know, she's just, you know, she's excited about the Lord. She that's all she thinks about. She could be the bride by her passion for the Lord. Does she have everything right? No. But I don't think a lot of people always have a lot of things right. And I confess to her, you know, there's a lot of us there in the church and nobody has it right. I said, and then I remembered Tom Horgan that went to heaven. I said, he got all knowledge when he went to heaven. He just had this expanded knowledge of things that he didn't bring back with him. I said, you know, that just kind of tells us that we don't know it all here. We're never going to probably have it all in place until we get and we're no longer in this body and present with the Lord. So we can't turn around and think we look at somebody and try to judge their fruit and think, you know, well, they're not on task. They're not really, you know, where they need to be. I don't think they're going to make it. You know, if they're loving the Lord and they're trying to follow the best that their heart can lead them, maybe they have some error, but you know what? They're still the Lord's. And we got to be careful how we're around those people. You know, I just wanted to say that. So, you know, when you're around Christians, don't worry about whether or not they're on task with what you believe.
Yeah. You
know, yep. If they're calling Jesus their Lord and they're trying to follow him the best of their heart and they're with the brother and they love being one of the brown Christ, the people of the brown brothers and sisters and love them. They've got the life of Christ in them. You know, we got to be careful how we tread with that.
Yep. Yep. I would agree. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Do you have something, Lily? Yeah, go ahead, brother. Oh, okay. Yeah, Lee, go ahead, brother.
I was going to tell Dave if that guy came back with all knowledge, he'd be God. So nobody's got it right because nobody's God. So you're correct in that.
If you get a chance, I think you find it that testimony Tom Horgan gave when he went to heaven. It's phenomenal.
Who is this?
Huh?
Who is this?
Oh, not Tom Horgan. What was that guy's name? That's our old supervisor of mine.
Tom Kruger? Who's that?
Huh?
Is it Tom Kruger?
Tom Kruger, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
They're close. Yeah. That's why I get it mixed up.
Yeah, Tom has some wonderful experiences, but he didn't know a whole lot about the Word of God.
Yeah.
You know, I'd love to go on some of those experiences he went on, but I'd much rather have the knowledge of the Word of God in me than those. It'd be nice to fly around with angels, you know.
Well, he mentioned when he was in heaven, he got all knowledge. So I'm thinking, he didn't come back with it.
Yeah, no, he came back with doctrine. The Baptist doctrine or whatever it is. Yeah, Pat.
Wow.
Okay, I'm sorry. Thought you wanted to say something. Okay, anybody else? Anybody else on the spirit of rejection or rejection of that?
Oh, by the way, that was my confession of pride. I'll make it a little simple. I screwed up, so I got corrected for that.
Okay. All right. What y'all want to talk about?
Well.
One thing I did want to mention, if y'all be praying about the website, we had a transition today, or the last couple, two, 3 days, of putting it on a new server. And it's just a matter of learning what to do and where to put things back, you know. And Casey, our new tech guy, he's constantly working on that. So he's doing a good job. He's getting stuff up there. So just have a little more patience with him. I think the podcast needs a little work done on it. And he's working on that as well. Yeah, Leah.
I just wanted to tell you, I tried to listen to the study, the last study that you guys put on there today. And I got about 20 minutes into it, and it cut off, and I got off the site and got back on, and it wouldn't work. And I turned my computer off and rebooted it, and it still wouldn't work. I couldn't get it to work at all. So I got about the first 20 minutes of the study, and then nothing. And I don't know if anybody else experienced that or not.
Did anybody else have that problem?
I think Tim wants to say something.
What? Go ahead, Tim. I'll wait.
Yeah, well, my wife, when she was downloading Sunday study, she said that the quantity of data was a fraction of what was
normal. Oh, okay. Yeah, I think we fixed that on the next broadcast, not on this one, this last one. We had the bit rate set on his Audacity too high. And, it takes a while for it to download. That was a complaint we had. So we went in there and looked at it, and that was the problem. David got a new computer. We had to re-download Audacity, which is the program that we record on. And we didn't check everything. We thought we had everything checked, but we had everything but that. And we couldn't figure out why. It was twice as big as it was before, you know. And then I got to looking at it, and I said, well, I came up here and looked at mine and saw what it was set at. And so then we set David's on that. That was yesterday. So from now on, it's going to be okay? It's going to be okay. We're not going to have that problem now another time. You're just going to have to deal with what we got, though. Well, you know what? I think I can probably maybe fix that. I'm pretty sharp with the Lord, you know. The Lord showed me things like that. Missy, go ahead.
Well, I downloaded it today and listened to it, and it was fine. Sundays.
But when you say that you downloaded it?
Yeah, downloaded it, and I listened to it, and everything was fine with it.
Yeah, it was. Did it download slow?
No, I don't think it was. No, it didn't seem like it was slower than normal.
I downloaded it today. I didn't have any problem.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe he got that all fixed. Well, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
I was going to tell that to Leon. Maybe download the file rather than try to listen to it online. That might, you know, that'll make it so you got the full thing in case there's any connection issues.
Amen. Okay, anyone else? Has anybody got something they'd like to talk about tonight? Another subject that we can talk about? Something that's been on your mind? Go ahead, Angelica.
Hello, God bless you.
You too.
I guess kind of in the midst of all this, coming out of all of this stuff, I have a couple of questions, but I'm not sure how to present them. Just, you know, when I first came to the Lord, I didn't really have all of the knowledge of the inner workings of all of this. I just operated in faith, and I coupled my faith with my works, and I just grew exponentially. And coming out of condemnation, all this stuff because of all those errors and stuff like that. I guess it's kind of like, you know, you're obviously, I need to be able to get back into the mind of the Spirit. And I need to be refilled, and I'm asking the Lord to give me the will to do of His good pleasure, and you know, I certainly would like it the way it was. I don't know if it can be again, but, you know, I had such a hunger. You know, I devoured the Word of God day and night, and, you know, it was just, it's a blessing and it's amazing. And I obviously know it was God's grace, but I don't know if having gone through all this, if it's going to be like that again, if it can be like that again, or is it something that everyone's kind of going through? I mean, I don't know, you know, walking in the mind of the Spirit with me was, everything was autopilot for me, except for praising the Lord, thanking Him. I mean, pretty much 24 hours a day. You know, I would kind of have mini sermons in my head, you know, just, you know, building myself up. You know, when I would read the Word, I would have about 10 different scripture, like to reference, like in my head, and I'd be flipping back and forth, and it was just joyous. And now I don't know if that's something I can get back to. And I'm just wondering if maybe you've ever experienced that, and how would you get back to having that, that flowing in the mind of the Spirit in heavenly places.
Anybody want to venture an answer? I give you the stock answer. The stock answer is this. Go back to doing what you were doing when you were getting those revelations. Whatever happened, whatever changed, go back to doing what you were doing, and ask the Lord to show you where you're messing up, you know, if you don't know. That's what I've always done. Go ahead, Dave.
I would think she's also feeling this condemnation still. Are you owning it? Are you owning something there, Angelica? Or are you letting the Lord take it?
No, I just how can I say, I'm having to retrain my brain from coming out, you know, from that kind of thinking.
Right.
And it's taking more thought than it did before, wherein it was never an issue. You know, I kind of call it, you know, the Nebuchadnezzar syndrome. You know, God is sovereign over all these things. And, you know, I rose up in pride and the Lord shut it down, you know. And
Did it to me too, I know. But, you know, I was telling you, I don't know if you heard me earlier. You know, one of the things I do, I have a lot of different folders with the different teachings from David on there. And one of them I did special. I put one on grace and faith and judging and the law. And I went on his website. I did a search and got as much as I could on grace teachings and on faith. And then not under the law, but not under works, you know. That's one teaching. Let me see. But it's important to not get hung up on our works and let the Lord be God in our life and realize it's not us, it's Him that's going to work it in us. And we have to get back into understanding what grace is and holding on to that. Because the minute we start letting go of grace and start getting involved in our works a little bit and where we're at and trying to make this work out, you know, we founder because we forgot that the Lord's the one that's going to work this in us. And we're the condemnation we felt when we had the pride brought us back, and we lost that faith of having this grand thing working in our lives. Now we have to get back in that faith and that groove again and let the Lord work on our life. So what do you have to do? What I've been doing, it works for me every time I feel it. Whenever I feel like, you know, I'm getting a little pushed down because of the law and whatever my failures might be are overcoming me, or I'm not seeing things the way I think I need to see it, I got to start hearing more about grace. I got to hear more about faith and understanding the law and why we're not under it. I need to understand what the gospel message is to get that back in my heart. Because when you start losing sight of that, then it all becomes kind of hard again. It becomes a task. It becomes a chore. We're no longer relying upon the Holy Spirit and God. We're, even though we're trying to, we're still kind of looking at ourselves more than we need to. And we can't look at ourselves. We got to realize we gave that up. And now we have to look at Christ and just focus on what he's done at the cross and focus on what he's going to do for us and believe that it's going to happen. But we have to start hearing more about grace all the time. And not only for us, and we realize it's not just for us, it's for the others too. Because when we start taking it away from others, then it's God removes it from us. So we realize, oh, okay, I got to start getting it back for me and then also believing for others at the same time. And then I get it back. Then the Lord's, I'm back in fellowship. I'm back in unity with the body. And I'm loving a brother and I'm supposed to. The life comes back inside, starts to fill me up. So, yeah, we need to get back into the grace messages. Again, like I gotta say, here's one message here that's really...
Go ahead, Angelica. What you got to say?
No, I totally agree. I've listened to the teaching all day long while I'm working. I guess, you know, it says give diligence to enter into the rest. And, you know, before it wasn't... Sure. So much I was learning, I was just devouring it. And now... I guess maybe I'm trying to recreate what God was doing then, and it's not maybe necessary now because I have a lot of the Word, and I'm very blessed by it. And it's just, you know, I guess the Lord has to do a new thing, But work it in me to just be refreshed, to want to chase after him. Because now it's like, you know, I'm walking on eggshells because I'm like, oh, man, I don't want to do this. I don't want to mess up, you know.
there is a teaching that's pretty good. It's called Justified by Law, Works, or Faith. It's 4:16:20-17.
Is that under the miscellaneous or the...
Yeah, you can go in miscellaneous. Just start doing, look for faith, look for works, justified, grace, all those keywords, you know, in the...
Oh, that's not one, that's just not one teaching you're talking about. That's a bunch of them, right, Dave?
Well, that was one teaching. It was done on 4:16:20-17.
But that's what she's asking about. Yeah.
Right, there's a bunch of others you can find with those titles.
Okay. I felt like I was dealing with the spirit of legalism, and I repented for everything, you know, and so I'm ready to move forward. I just I'm just having issue and I don't know if it's just going to take prayer for my mind to be able to just flow again. Yeah, you know what I mean? Because the Lord is sovereign over our knowledge. You know, if he sees that we're puffed up, he can take it out of our head if he wants.
Realize this too. We prophesy in part, and nothing is going to be whole here. We still will always have a little stumbling along the way. Right. Understand that. All right. That's part of the process.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Sometimes, Angelica, people with a lot of knowledge of the Word of God tend to get into that legalism a little bit. And I'm not saying that's where you are, but, you know, just check yourself when that... you know, I know what the Word says about this, and I don't know why God is not honoring his word, blah, 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 you know. I've heard that a lot from some people. And I have faith, but I don't know why God's not, you know. And that's a little trap you can get into. Not saying that you're doing that, but I've seen other people with a lot of knowledge get into that. And some people, not a lot, but some people. And it gets them in a trap to where their unbelief is just amazing, considering the amount of knowledge that they have, you know. And the reason is because of legalism. They think that, well, I need to be doing better than what so-and-so is doing because I know this much more about the Word of God, you know. And we see that in fellow. We had a brother that having that same, that problem there. And we just pointed out to him, you know, you're trying to judge yourself. Let me rephrase that. You're judging God over your lack, and that sometimes happens to those type of people. I don't know if I'm making any sense at all right now.
No, I understand what you're saying. I mean, I know that what I had was a gift from God. It was grace. Yes. I absolutely know that, and I know that if there's any error, it's on my part. I know that. Yeah. One thing, by God's grace, I've never, I never want to, put the blame on God, because I know the error is on my part, my understanding. So I've erred somewhere.
Okay, good deal. Good deal. All right. Anyone else?
I'll just read this. I got this before it came out tonight. We all know it, and I'll let Michael and anybody else just stop me when they want and talk about what's being taught here. This is 2 Peter 1:3. We're all familiar with it, but it's probably good to get it back in our heads a little bit and understand it and talk about it. So it's 2 Peter 1:3 through what are we gonna do? Through 1:12. 2 Peter 1:3 through 1:12. Confirming your calling and election. This is the ASV version. Seeing that his divine power has granted unto us all. I'm not going to even say things, just all. That pertain unto life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue. So again, we got that divine calling from God. And we're going to have this thing that's going to bring us and grant us all that we need that pertains in life and godliness and through knowledge of him. We got that in that first verse. This is believe it. That's what we're told to do, believe this. That's what he did. Whereby he has granted unto us his precious and exceedingly great promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of this world by lust. How many here, we can raise your hand, have escaped those lusts, some of those lusts in our lives? We've had some victories, right? We all do. Maybe we've still got a few more, but we have some victories. So this is true. Those are promises. He's making us partaker of the divine nature. And part of that is we're escaping this corruption that's in this world by lust. Wow, that's pretty good. I think we're on task. We're on task here. Yay. For this very cause, adding on your part all diligence. Well, here comes our responsibilities. In your faith, supply virtue. Anybody got a word for virtue? Another word? You know what faith is, right? Let's talk about virtue. What's virtue? There, we got off it.
Basically, it's just my, I don't know one word for it, but it's moral excellence.
Yeah,
I think is what it is.
You got it.
It's funny. I just got, had these verses that I sent in for the morning prayer meeting this morning, so I was really looking at this and reading it today.
Yeah, there was a reason for that, wasn't there?
Yeah.
So moral excellence. We got the excellence going, don't we? Great. That's nice. Our diligence, we're going to be in our faith, our diligence in our space. So by virtue or excellence, right? We're going to have this excellence about us. And in your virtue or excellence, probably covers a lot of things, knowledge. So we're gaining that knowledge. We're constantly being fed. We're in the Word, right? We're in the Word right now. Knowledge about what? What are we supposed to have knowledge about? Go ahead. I can't hear you, Leon.
The divine nature.
Okay. Andrew, what do you think? I'm not trying to take.
Life and godliness.
Okay. Anybody else got something they want to put in there for now?
What are you looking for? I'm looking up virtue.
Virtue, you still on virtue? We'll go back.
Yeah. You know what virtue is?
Go ahead.
Like God.
Like God? Yeah, that's the excellence. I guess that would make sense, doesn't it? Yeah. That's the excellence we're talking about.
Like okay. God. The next one is what? Knowledge?
Yes.
Okay, you got knowledge. What is knowledge? Y'all tell me, is that what you're on now?
Yep. We're on
good.
2 Peter 1:5.
All right.
What's the knowledge? And the
knowledge of God's word, knowledge of God, knowledge of his promises, which all wraps up into his word.
Knowledge of who Jesus is, so it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. So we're trying to image of that. Okay. Anybody else got something more? What we're supposed to have knowledge in? What's this knowledge? Knowledge of the gospel, saving grace, what it all means. It's not us, it's him. Get our eyes off us, get our eyes on Jesus and the cross. I mean, we have to have that knowledge of the gospel and what it is, the saving grace of the knowledge of the gospel. Otherwise, a lot of this is just going to fall to the wayside. It's not going to even hold up. We need the gospel for this knowledge. Anybody else got something else? Okay. 1:6, and in your knowledge, self-control. You know what? I had to learn a bit of that. I'm still working on that. How about you guys? I didn't do so well last week, a couple weeks ago. But I'm claiming it's mine in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Self-control. That's controlling yourself, isn't it?
Yeah.
We could turn that right around. Yeah. That's looking in the Word, finding out how what God wants from us, and you can go into the attributes of Jesus.
Those seven attributes. That's the Holy Spirit, isn't it?
Yeah, the Holy Spirit. That's in 1 Corinthians. Is that somebody? All right, you scholars out there, come on, help me out here.
Andrew knows that one.
Being constrained by the word of God in all you do, you check to see how did my Lord and Savior respond to this? What was his, his constraint in this matter and self-control that, the example that he provided. That's how I see it.
Amen.
The Bible talks about, Jesus was saying, it's not what goes in a man that makes a man sin, and what comes out of his mouth, it's in his heart that brings forth sin. So if we're careful with how what directs out of our mouth and make sure what we're doing is being an oracle of God, Well, now we're transforming our heart and our mouth in agreement with the word. So that's going to bring us our self-control too. We want to make sure whatever's come out of our mouth is in agreement with the word, and that's going to give us control. That's going to give us control in our life.
That's not fair. You already got the answers.
No, I just...
You got the manual over there.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Let's go to 1:7. And then
we'll
go back to 6. If you want to, I was going to jump over that because I didn't do this well. No, I'm kidding.
Patience, patience.
Patience.
So in your self-control, patience, you skipped all over that, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Sorry about that.
Patience is the knowledge that the self-control that you it takes time, and your knowledge about everything about God, and your ability to apprehend it and put it in your life takes time. It's like the learning process. I don't know if everybody is like me, but I learned to walk with the Lord mainly through my failure. And the funny thing about it is, well, it's not funny, but if people would observe me and have observed my life, they would see that for the most part, I'm a failure because I fail so many times at trying to learn something that the Lord is trying to teach me. But once you have it, then you no longer fail in it, but it's been my experience that you also don't stay very long on that. You move to the next area of your life. So knowing that process, there's knowledge again, knowing that, being aware of that, you are able to develop patience with that process and wait on the Lord, continuing to inquire of him as to the struggles that you're having and why you're having them, and praising him for the answer, etc. And sooner or later, tapping around in the darkness, you're going to hit the light switch. And when you turn it on, then you're going to know it. You're going to understand it, and it will be yours. And that patience will bring forth godliness in you as you then take that word and it becomes part of you. The other nice thing about turning on that light is that all the varmints scatter, and you see where everything, all of those other areas of influence in your life become a little more clear as well. So.
Well, there you go, Angelica. There's the answer to your question.
I was afraid of that. I just got two scriptures for you, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. And Luke 21:19, by your endurance, you'll gain your lives, or in your patience, you'll possess your souls. And in Revelation, it talks about the patience of the saints. And me being young in the Lord and probably the most impatient person you've ever met, my mom had zero patience for anything. And I've grown so much in patience, and I think that's probably been the hardest part is, that when you're dealing with patience, the trial is, are you going to stand on the word? Are you going to be double-minded? Are you going to waver? Are you going to have an attitude towards God and get unforgiving? Because
it's not happening in your time? Are you going to harden yourself against God because it's not going according to your plan that you think it's, you know, according to how it should go? And, you know, I kind of, you know, I don't know. I mean, and I guess it's not a good thing, but I always just thought, if I'm willing, you know, to put all these things down immediately, then certainly I can go as far and as fast as I want to. And I did that for a while, and it was God's grace, because, I mean, believe me, I was so cursed. It was really, I mean, I got deliverance from about, you know, almost the first 3 years, you know, the 5 years that I've been saved, I was so demonized. And I did deliverance every day, you know, and patience is a very difficult thing for me, especially knowing, having the knowledge of what's to come. It's like, come on, you know. And I guess that is a trial for me, and that might be just a trial now.
There's a good prayer out of Romans 15 and 5. Now the God of promise and of comfort grant you to be of the same mind one with another according to Christ Jesus. Just pray the patience of God upon yourself. Thank you, Lord, for giving me your patience.
I was going to read real quick here, James. Chapter 1 talks about patience. Count it all joy, brethren, when you fall manifold temptations, knowing that the proving of your faith works patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. Guess how God's going to work patience in your life? You're going to go through some trials. That's how he does it. But again, how are we going to accomplish all this? If we go back at the beginning of Peter, it's, you know, by our faith and being diligent in our faith, we're going to hold on to these things. We got to hold on to these promises that he's going to help us overcome, all right? So we know the way we're going to get patience is through trials. Nobody wants to go through them, but that's how he's going to work patience in your life. Go ahead, Pat.
One of the things I believe is the lesson that at least I've been learning here in the last couple weeks, and that is obviously when we enter into those trials, the Lord is trying to bring about patience in us, develop that patience so that we because what we're tempted, the first thing we're tempted to do, obviously, the devil tries to get us to jump out from under that pressure or move out of that realm when the Lord has orchestrated that situation in our life to help us to seek him in that way and go through that process. He's got a good purpose in it. Of course, the devil wants us to get out from under it. But one of the things that I've found very helpful in that, when you start to go through that process, is the very first thing I've learned to do is to start to thank God for that process. Thank him for bringing that situation into your life, because his whole goal is to create and develop and work out that Christ in you and bring it out. And right now, there's things in our lives that is hindering that freedom of Christ to be expressed out of us. And so, and quite frankly, when you're stumbling around in the dark and looking and you're going through condemnation and woe is me, what have I done wrong type of thing, that whole focus upon me and what I've done wrong and what I am not doing right and where I missed the boat and where, you know, you can go on and on with the list, because in case you run out of them, the devil will throw a few more of them in there for you to keep you going around in that circle. But the thing that I found to break that, see, that's a constant repetition in my mind. That's exactly the first place I had, is self-condemnation and, you know, what have I done wrong, etc., and then start seeking. But the answer is not and never will be in me. It is turning my faith, my focus to God and giving him thanks, thanking him for this time that he has brought into my life, and trusting him that this is a process, and no matter how long it takes, he's taking me through, and he has the ability to bring me through and give me the light I need in order to respond properly in this time. I'm finding more and more that it's more important that I just turn to him and start thanking him for it and praising him for his solution to my dilemma, whatever that will be, and he will deliver as he said he would deliver us. So I can't remember where I was going with this, but I guess I'll just end it here.
I think you hit really well. You helped us here, saying that, you know, the patience that we're trying to endure for with the trials is to get our eyes off us and realize the trial is from God, and to look to God for getting us through the trial, because he's the only one that can get us through in the first place. So this is a trial by God that God gets us through, because he developed it for us, so we rely upon him to go through it with him, and he gets us through it, not us by our own ability, but him working through us to do it. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. When you were mentioning that, it reminded me of a truth that the Lord, I think it's in John 10 or something like that, where he said, he has given us the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. And if you, and I don't remember where that scripture is at now, but when you think of that, the Holy Spirit is ours to guide us into all truth. So where are we coming out of? We're coming out of all deception. We were born in this world with an earthly perspective that is encompasses us all around, and God brought us out of this world, translated us out of here, and delivered us from darkness, and now we're in the kingdom of light, and now he is taking us systematically through processes that will translate our soul, shall we say, our awareness, out of our dependence upon that darkness and into the light. So I was looking for a scripture. Maybe I'll bring up the concept and somebody can tell me where that scripture is. But in the Old Testament, I don't know if it was in Joshua when he was bringing the children of Israel, they were conquering the promised land, and there was a verse that spoke about going into a place and but not taking all of the varmints or enemies or whatever out of that place at the same time.
Right.
And
lest the beast overtake you.
Yeah. If somebody could tell me where that verse was at, because the concept is God can go, there's a land, the land in our life needs to be controlled, and right now part of it's being controlled, I'm just going to say, part of it's being controlled by the devil and the demons and his influence in there, but it's being done for a reason, because the Lord is in a process of systematically taking things down and transferring us, our dependence over on into the kingdom of light and on the word of truth. And when it's time, God will show us and we'll turn around and we'll knock those things out systematically as he takes us through it. I'm reminded of what David said about going into the denominations or being, you go into the denominations, into the church, and that's where you're born. Maybe you found Christ there, etc., and you stay there until you're old enough, mature enough to crawl over the bars of the baby, whatever thing there, and then leave. And David, he seemed like he was only in there, a few months. And he was off and running. And I know, I praise the Lord for that too, but I wasn't quite so fortunate. I was left in there for 10, 15 years. But there's things in there, there's things in our life that God takes us, wants to take out of our life, but he has to do it in a systematic process. And I think that's where patience comes in as well. I'll quit talking.
You go ahead, Lisa.
I found where you were talking about, Patrick. It's in Exodus 23, about starting verse 20. It's a good place to start. And it says, "And I will send the hornet before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, the Hittite from before thee. And I will drive them out from before thee in one year." I will not drive them out from before thee in one year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. But by little and little will I drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land.
Where was that again?
Exodus 23, 28 to 30 or whatever.
Cool. I see it. Yep. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. It looks like Angelica put up Deuteronomy 7:22 also. That was similar.
That says, "And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little, that thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beast of the field increase upon thee."
Yeah, I thought there was another place that was very similar.
Yeah, the Lord tends to repeat things.
It's a good thing. I don't catch it the first time.
He knows we're not patient.
Repetition is a good teacher, I heard someone say once.
Well, of course, that. That's the way David teaches. He teaches repetition. Over and over and over again. I got so sick of hearing about faction when I first came here. Man, I mean, every breath, every teacher was on faction. I said, "Don't this man know anything else?" But you know what? People still didn't get it. People still factioned out. And he was hammering that faction home, this is what you got to do, and people wouldn't do it, but that's the reason he did it. He I don't know how many people he saved from doing that, but there were some that still left because they got faction and they just couldn't handle it. You can't handle growing in the Lord.
Michael, I think that some of these things we just don't catch. And I think it's almost purposely the Lord, if we're not ready for some of these things, the Lord's not going to make us aware of them. And I was, and this, the whole thing that we're going through, or I'm going through on praise now, I read those books a year ago when I think David was talking about praise or something someplace. And I ordered these Merlin Crothers books and read them a year ago, but I had to reread it again here the last couple weeks. And it seems like now I'm catching what the Lord was trying to do, teach me. And I'm in construction. So I understand the importance about making sure that you have a proper foundation under a structure before you start building walls and trying to put a roof on a house or whatever. And in our lack of patience, I think a lot of times we get a glimpse of the house and we want to start, putting things up and the walls up and all kinds of, but there are foundational things that need to be straightened out in our life. Kind of a getting back to the basics type thing, and that need to happen first. And the Lord, I believe, is faithful to take us around there. He's the author and finisher of our faith, so he knows what's going to stick and what won't. And I'm thinking of that scripture, I think it's in Romans, where one more, maybe it's in Hebrews, one more time, it's like he is going to create an environment that is shaking so that whatever can't be shaken is going to remain, and that is shaking in our life is going to drop off. And I believe, I'll just let it go at that.
Okay, Liam.
I got an interesting story about that foundation that you were talking about. That's in Hebrews, by the way. That shaking is coming. That's in Hebrews. But I was looking for a job. I've been in construction for, almost 40 years. But back in the 90s, I was looking for a job. I answered an ad for the county of Cook. Cook County is where Chicago is in Cook County, and it's pretty large. But anyway, I answered an ad for a building manager, construction manager. So they sent me a packet to fill out, with information and give details of what I actually know and so forth. Well, they sent me a letter back that said that I had the highest score ever recorded for that position. But they wouldn't give me the job because I wasn't a minority or a vet or anything else. So,
well, you should have told me he was transgender.
Yeah, I
would
have.
All you'd have to do is tell them you're a Christian now.
Yeah. Well, you're disqualified.
I would be rejected for sure. But I couldn't believe it. The highest score ever, and
I see pride creeping out? Yeah, I think I see some pride coming out.
It's out. It's gone.
Well, that's good. Yeah.
I just thought that was an interesting story, personally.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Here, I'll just read that verse. It says, "See that you refuse not him that speaketh, for he that escapeth not when if they escaped not when they've refused him that warned them on earth, much more shall not we escape who turn away from him that warneth us from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more will I make to tremble not the earth only, but also the heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifying the removing of those things that are shaken, as of the things that have been made, that those things which are not shaken remain. Wherefore, receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace whereby we may offer service well-pleasing to God with reverence and awe." A few weeks ago, I was on this chapter of looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, so that we can connect with and be confident that we, as being sons of God, by the way, when I'm assuming that everybody is aware of the fact that when I say, or somebody else refers to sons of God, we're not speaking about gender there, because it has nothing to do with male and female as much as it has to do with the attributes of sonship, or giving making personal decisions and turning over our life to a certain degree and to a full degree, putting away our life and making choices to prepare ourselves to do the Father's business, to inherit the Father's business. Anyway, and in that process, we receive chastening and scourging, whippings. But for us as sons, it is important to connect and settle ourselves that though we see these scourgings and chastenings of the flesh, we need to focus on the fact that verse 2, I'm sorry, verse, where does it say? Verse 6, "For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and whom he, and every son he receives, he scourges." So for us to be able to focus on the fact that this is a token evidence that God loves us and receives us, and to the degree that we can focus on that fact, we're going to, I believe, experience things that shake in our life, where God takes us through processes and shakes some of this stuff in our life so that those things can fall away that are not important, are not helpful in our lives, and that which remains will be of the kingdom of light and of God's Spirit. So I didn't. I'll get off of that.
Hey, go ahead, Andrew.
I was reading today in the Book of Acts, and because you mentioned that word shaken, and it's in the in chapter 2, you know, where you're. They talk about Pentecost there, and And it's talking about King David here. And I beheld the Lord always before my face. We have that face verse in the mirror there, you know, what we're supposed to do from glory to glory. And this is King David. So you have to think of his whole story there and his whole life, you know. For he is on my right hand that I be not shaken. And of course, there were some things that did shake David, you know, like with Saul and of course his son later, you know. And I just find that these verses here collate with that verse there on the things that are being removed, because pretty much everything was removed for him that was in his way, you know. Even another king, you know, and he handled that very well with Saul. And, you know, sometimes on the site they talk about the Saul ministry, you know, and you can collate it with that King Saul. And you know, the rest of these verses here about David are something I think we pick up from that Holy Spirit filling in us, because this is what I find is also part of chapter 2, 17 through to 21, you know. And if you look at it, it seems like it's in two phases there, you know. Where it talks about our time in the end here, and it's talking about their time that they're having in the first century there. And it was just kept coming to me, and now I'm stuck on this chapter two for a while. And because I'm trying to go like line by line here, like for this to apply for me, for the body, you know, for you also. And I'm looking into this now, and you know, from that verse there, I will pour forth my spirit upon all flesh, you know. And then you go down for your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And then it says in 18 again, I will pour forth my spirit that they shall prophesy. And it's almost like there's a beginning there, and then there's another ending there for our time. You know, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. Well, they didn't have that in the first century, so he's speaking it for us. But I do also believe that there was a parallel to this for them too in the first century up there, because you know, the Jews lost their country, they lost everything, and the Lord was still trying to reach them at that time. Anyway, I was kind of hoping that we would look into some of that, but maybe that's for a future date, where you would just go and he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh, but I wish I could find that other line. Well, anyway, it's this shaken one, that I be not shaken, that's for us. That's what the Lord's going to bring us through there. That in the 25th verse there, I behold the Lord always before my face. Now, how can I put this? That, you know, sometimes we don't always do that, and we need the 2 Corinthians 3:18 there, you know, and we need the liberty that's before it too for that. But for he is on my right hand, that I be not shaken. And we know that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. So how is this with David here? That the Lord is on his right hand, unless we're both in the same right hand of the Father. You know what I mean? Ye are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, if he beheld the Lord always before his face, then, and he was in the Old Testament, you know, and we know some of the things that he went through. So, and he goes on and says, therefore, my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. And, you know, that gives praise to God. Moreover, my flesh also shall tabernacle in hope, you know, and I sort of think that that's a assured expectation for that one. And that's a Romans 5:5. Because thou will not leave my soul unto Hades, neither will thou give thy Holy Spirit, thy Holy One, to see corruption. You know, and I circled that word corruption because, you know, there is the resurrection of the dead first, and then there's the ones who are alive. You know, for the guy who's operating in that place where they try to martyr him and he doesn't get martyred. You know, like John the apostle, and it's this is like a future event for a group of people there, you know, and the corrupt shall put on incorruption, you know, so to me, you know, I've said it before, where the Lord collects his gems when he wants to, and that's that I think is important. That thou madest known to me life's ways, you know. And I think that people miss out on that part as part of that Pentecostal blessing that you receive, that with David, with what he's talking about David there, because, you know, usually people associate it with the verse 17 down to 21, you know, in the second chapter. Anyway, I just thought I'd mention that. It all came from that shaken thing that you read there in Hebrews, you know. So it's not like I'm going on a tangent here. I hope not, anyway.
No, that's okay. Yeah, no,
we were staying with you there, Andrew.
Yeah, go ahead, Willie.
Sorry, I'm trying to figure out my iPad here. One of the things that kept, you know, getting me was, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Can you guys hear me just fine? I got my fan on.
Well, your volume's a little bit down, but I can hear you.
Hold That fan is kind of noisy in the background.
Yeah, no, you're fine.
Well, the two scriptures that hit me the most, you know, was, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. You know, what is a peacemaker? And the other scripture that hit me was, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And I, you know, I'm like, why is the Lord showing me these two scriptures, you know? And I was thinking about, I read another scripture where it says, my soul has long had her dwelling with him that hateth peace. You know, this body is a thing that you have seemed to dwell with for a long time that hates peace. You know, I'm going to say this to you, Joe, the most. It hates peace. It is, you know, it is the wrath of man that cannot work the righteousness of God. You know, and I'm glad God combinated these scriptures together, because I don't know what he was using them for. You know, and it's interesting when you start talking, he starts revealing, you know, you're going to be with this flesh. You said one scripture, Andrew, you know, you shall not leave my soul in Hades. You know, that's why God said you're in the world, but you're not of the world. But you're dwelling among the dead. You know, you're dwelling among, you know, Hades, the children of Hades, you know, the people who sat in darkness and in the valley of the shadow of death, you know, light has sprung unto you, you know. And so you go forth as a peacemaker. In the scripture says, you know, my words are for peace. But when they speak, their words are for, you know, wrath, you know. The wrath of man cannot work the righteousness of God. You know, our flesh has such an interesting way of, you know, bringing us back, you know, into that place where only wrath is exercised, you know, where the, you know, to walk in that, you know, to think with the carnal mind, you know, the wrath of man. You know, the flesh has no peace with God. It has no peace with God. You know, we're looking for that refreshing, you know, being renewed, being transformed, you know, by the renewing of your mind, you know. But this scripture really encouraged me, where it says, my soul has long had her dwelling with him that hateth peace. And I often forget my flesh hates that peace. You know, somewhere we get into that place where we're trying to make that peace with our, with the flesh, you know. We get right in the soul, you know, you get that, you someplace you get right in the soul, and then you try to do it with, you know, the carnal man. You find yourself in a place of condemnation, in a place of rejection, in a place of being judgmental, you know, unmerciful. You know, it says something about the flesh. What's that list that it says about man? He's unmerciful, unplacable, you know. It's just this long list, you know. And I forget what scriptures that is in, but it goes to the list about the flesh. You know, it's about the flesh, you know, and it's about that soul, you know, that should have been a peacemaker, that wanders back, you know, gets caught into that place of temptation where righteousness is now being performed by works. So now you become an unmerciful judge, you know. The scriptures tell us we should be gentle, long-suffer, easy to entreat. You know, you're not, what is her name? Angelica spoke about that peace, you know. And the first thought that came to my mind is that, you know, God puts us in that state where, you know, oh, where's that awesome grace? Where's that awesome, you know, communication? I used to go through the same thing you went through, Angelica, where I would have sermons in my mind. You know, the Lord would just be talking to me, and it would just be scriptures, and it would be peace, and it would be grace, and then it was gone, and I was like, where'd it go? Not understanding, you know, that your soul is dwelling with something that hates peace, you know, and now it's so reared its ugly head. I'm not going to sit still for this anymore. I laid down long enough, you know, and that's where you have to suddenly turn around and enter into a place of absolute humility, you know, absolute debasing, you know, of yourself, you know, where it is, you know, I think the measure of how that, how your flesh does that should be a sign of the zeal of humiliation that we should go into to reestablish being a peacemaker. You know, the Lord says, blessed are the peacemakers. There's thing, where's that scripture at? There's a scripture that one of you guys mentioned, but you know, that I guess I'll stop there. But that's the thing that was hitting me, you know, throughout the study. You know, the wrath of man. You know, the blessedness of the peacemaker. It's called, that part is called the Son of God. You know. That's all I'm going to say. I just want to leave that important part out there, you know, as it is.
Amen. Go ahead, Angelica.
Amen, brother. I agree. You expressed that the way I couldn't probably express that. But I just wanted to ask for an opportunity to repent for some things before my brethren and just pray to the Lord if that's okay.
Sure.
Okay. Well, I'll do it in prayer, but it's a repentance, just before you as well. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you, Lord God. I thank you for another day. I thank you for your loving kindness, your mercy and grace always, Lord God. I thank you for your salvation, Lord God. I thank you for everyone here, Lord God, and the hearts, Lord God, that you've given them for you, Lord. And Lord, I want to confess some sin before them, Lord God, and before your throne, Lord. I just confess, Lord God, your word says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above myself. And I'm guilty, Lord God, of doing things out of selfish ambition, Lord God. I'm guilty, Lord God, of judging myself by myself, Lord God, and not valuing others, Lord God, more highly than myself, Lord God. And this is worldly. I was taught this worldly way, Lord God, through, you know, trying to become better in a competition at work and things of that nature, Lord. And I just cast those that mindset down, Lord God, of that spirit of competition, Lord. And I just renounce that before you, Lord. And forgive me, Lord God, for judging myself. Your word says to judge nothing before the time. And Paul said that he didn't even judge himself. And so I just ask for forgiveness for this, Lord. And I ask for forgiveness for legalism, Lord God. Not giving grace when grace was due, Lord God, or more grace, Lord God. And it's a hard lesson, Lord God. But, Lord, I thank you, Lord God, that that you stopped me in my tracks, Lord God, and reminded me, Lord God, that this is not about how fast I can or how fast I can leave everyone else behind, Lord God, but it's about love. It's about picking up my brothers and sisters. It's about using our experience, Lord God, to edify each other, Lord God. And I just ask, Lord God, that you would perfect me in love, Lord God, and take away all fear out of my heart, Lord God. Ungodly fear, Lord God, of losing my salvation or being displeasing to you when I know I'm doing the best that I can, Lord. And I just repent for self-confidence, Lord God, being confident in self and the abilities that you gave me, because I believe by faith, Lord God, that I just like David, I have a spirit of excellence, Lord God. And I believe that all of us have a spirit of excellence, Lord God, to serve you, Lord God, in excellence, as Christ Jesus served the Father in excellence, Lord. Only somewhere along the line that was perverted, Lord God, through selfish ambition, Lord God. And I just ask for repentance and forgiveness, Lord. I ask, Lord God, that you would cause me to be teachable again, Lord God. And listen to my brethren, Lord God, above my own self and my own thoughts, Lord God. And I bless you, and I thank you for all these men and women of God who have wonderful insight, Lord. And I just thank you for the opportunity, Lord God, to fellowship with them, Lord. And thank you for forgiveness in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for your cleansing power over Angelica in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for all of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the trials you put us in. I thank you for the way that you're bringing us along. You know, Pat's right. We need to thank you in the low times and the high times, too. And I thank you, Lord, that you are getting rid of all of this stuff out of us, Lord. Lord, forgive me for any flippant thing that I've said that has hurt people. I ask that in the name of Jesus. And I ask people to forgive me if that's happened too. In Jesus' name, I don't want to hurt anybody. And Lord, I just ask and I pray that you place love in my heart and Angelica's and everybody else's heart, Lord, for one another. You know, Lord, we go through these trials. I'm going through a trial right now. Father, now I ask that you give me some encouragement. And I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, that we're going to walk through these trials because we know that you're with us and you're actually carrying us through them, Lord. And I praise you for it. I ask, Lord, that you be with everybody here tonight. Give them dreams and visions of the things to come. Put that hunger in them for more of the word and give them more revelations into your word, Lord. Open up their mind's eye to see what you want them to learn out of your word. And Lord, let us go slow enough to where we can digest the word of God, instead of gobbling it down, and that we just, like Andrew was talking about, just go through there and meditate on these sentences that might help somebody else, you know. Lord, I ask that in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for encouraging everybody here. And I thank you, Lord, that these conference calls continue to be a blessing to everybody. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that we have a wide variety of people here that understands the word of God in their way. And Lord, I thank you that everybody's got a piece of the puzzle and that everybody wants to share it, and that's good. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to be with us in the next few days until we meet again Thursday night, Lord willing. And we thank you, Lord, that the website is going to be working better than it ever has before. I thank you, Lord, for all the other things that we've been praying about, that you're going to answer our prayers, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good night, folks. We're out of time. Thank y'all. Let me get everybody unmuted here.